This
is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
Hey, Nicole, if there's something strange in your neighborhood,
who are you going to call?
Ghost Kitchens!
This is a hot dog, it's a sandwich. That's the podcast.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Sick!
That was rad, dude. I love this. We're so good at this. Hey, welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And neither of us have seen Ghostbusters.
No.
But I've been meaning to since like 1987.
I have a confession to make.
What's that?
I'm afraid of no ghosts. Sorry.
Did you just learn that was part of the song like 30 seconds ago?
No, I knew that from before.
You knew the song, but you've never seen the movie.
Yeah, it's iconic.
That's incredible. Today, Nicole, we are talking about the problem with ghost kitchens. We're talking about how they are scamming America out of their hard-earned money.
They really are.
Right. Okay, well, let's diagnose what the actual scam is. Let's talk about ghost kitchens, right?
Okay.
They tend to be established restaurant brands or established restaurants. At least in the past, they tended to be.
That would then
effectively work out of a larger commissary kitchen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so a larger commissary kitchen could share several restaurant spaces. These are virtual only concepts. So restaurants that only exist on mostly delivery apps now, right?
Yeah.
Postmates, Grubhub, Deliveroo. Why did I go right to Deliveroo?
I've never heard of Deliveroo. I've heard of Caviar.
I think Deliveroo is like an England thing. I don't know. But anyways.
Interesting.
So they're operating out of like these larger kitchens and they may share, you know, 10, 12 spaces in one kitchen. And they sort of slap a label on it that says like Chicken Sammy's.
Yeah.
And then they send it out to people. But it's a very opaque process, and it's something that especially exploded during the pandemic.
Yes. Oh, you're correct. Sorry. I was
drinking. Oh yeah. No, drink your tea, Nicole. Drink your tea. Sip that tea. Because we're getting into the tea of ghost kitchens right now.
Yeah. I know there was this crazy video that Eddie Burback made about
the Eddie Burback video.
Yeah, and it was iconic. He's like a PI kind of.
Eddie Burback's like a modern day Hunter S. Thompson out there, except he's going to all the Margaritavilles and Rainforest Cafes.
Yeah.
And then exposing the ghost kitchen scam. Because he found out something incredible. He went to one of these ghost commissary kitchens and found 44 different concepts operating out of the same kitchen space.
That's nuts. Was that the fish sandwich one? Or was that,
was
like another
part of
it?
Tell
them
about the fish sandwich part.
Yeah, so Eddie goes and he like calls, not calls, he like orders a bunch of sandwiches from these different spots, and then they end up being the exact same sandwich. Down to the onions, down to the sauce, it's just the same exact thing. And so there's actually no thought that goes into the ghost kitchen.
Well, no, there's an incredible amount of thought that
really
goes into it, right? So, okay.
I feel like it's just like trickling down, and there's no thought, and there's no creativity, and it's just pumping stuff out for people to consume. It's like goo.
No, it is.
It's like eating goo.
It feels very dystopian in a way, right?
That's so, where I'm. It's like Soylent Green.
It's like Soylent Green.
Yeah.
But now our Soylent Green is like some influencer has a you know, this is Jimmy's special fish sandwich. It's
Who's
got
Jimmy?
Mayonnaise on it. Mr. Beast, right? Mr. Beast, one of his names, Jimmy Donaldson. But
yeah, Jimmy's great.
Mr. Beast Burger is, to me, the biggest thing that really kicked off the Ghost Kitchen, I don't know, scandal kind of thing.
Yeah.
And right now, he is actually being countersued by Virtual Dining Concepts. Mr. Beast sued Virtual Dining Concepts because they exploded from zero Mr. Beast Burger locations to 1,700 Beast Burger locations in a matter of like 2 years.
In the U.S.
In the United States.
Holy crap.
Which is absolutely crazy. Like
that is
when you were
crazy.
Looking at the explosion of restaurants, like I remember Chipotle was one of the fastest in history.
Oh, sure.
You know, and that was 1,700 locations in a matter of like 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Blaze Pizza is another one, similar numbers. But now the fact that We're being forced to reckon with the question of like, what is a restaurant?
Yeah, right? that's very true.
A restaurant used to be a building. It used to be a building that you would go into that had a kitchen and there were governing bodies that regulated it and you would go, you would sit down and people would serve you food and you would pay for it there.
Yes.
Right? And then the fact that we're talking about the ghost kitchens feeling very dystopian, so much of my worldview is sort of dominated by the fact that every era and every generation has gone through cultural panics and freakouts about so many things, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say this is a panic or a freakout. I'd say it's a
even just a cultural criticism.
It's a critique. We're critiquing
it's a critique.
It. Yeah, yeah.
And things are definitely changing, right? For the first time ever in 2015, the amount of money that Americans spent on dining out surpassed the amount of money they spent on groceries.
Which is just insane to
me. But it was a very slim margin, right?
Yeah.
But then now, only in the last 8 years, we've seen like a 20% increase in that margin.
Wow.
So Americans spend like $92 billion dining out every year compared to $73 billion on groceries. Which is crazy, and a big part of it is the convenience level, right?
Yeah, we're in the age of convenience right now.
We're in the age of convenience right now, but we kind of have been sliding down there for a while. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite works of fiction, we're talking about dystopian cyberpunk fiction.
That's okay.
Get on board.
I'm excited to learn. Tell me about it.
Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson.
You've talked about this before.
It's one of my favorite
books
of all time. I love this book, but they sort of go through that cultural critique of Americans loving convenience, but through the lens of delivery pizza restaurants. So in this book, not to spoil it, but like the mafia effectively runs all of America and they run it because they found the most efficient systems at getting anything done were delivery pizza restaurants.
Interesting.
So the mafia bought all of them. So literally you need like anything done, a pizza delivery driver is going to be the fastest, most efficient.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
a reference to Domino's 30 minutes or less.
Okay.
Which a lot of people at the time were like, that's
that
too,
was nuts. I remember nuts. When that happened. It was crazy.
But there's also this idea of like, that's too fast for food. You shouldn't be able to get food that fast. Getting food shouldn't be that easy. Americans are lazy. They're not even willing
easy.
To go into a restaurant to get food. And now we're like literally too lazy to even Google what the restaurant that we're eating at is.
That's so true.
Right?
Yeah, we're just going on an app and just looking
clicking.
Up whatever comes up. Have you ever eaten at a ghost kitchen that you're aware of?
I'm sure I have. And I think the times that it's probably happened. So anytime I'm on an app and I see something that looks sketchy, you can kind of tell if you're effectively getting catfished. That's what this is.
Yeah.
You're on
ghost
Tinder.
Kitchens are
you're on Tinder. You're
people.
Swiping and like the pictures are weirdly pixelated and you're like, I feel like you screen grabbed this off of Google Images. You know what I mean? And like the description of the person doesn't quite add up. You're like, that's a catfish. Like stay away from that person. You can tell this on delivery apps now.
Yeah. I mean, to the untrained eye, I think it's a little bit difficult though.
I agree with
especially because me and you have worked in like food media.
100%.
So
100%.
We can tell whenever a photo is like not from a restaurant
you can
almost.
Tell though, yeah.
And like, I actually used to work with someone who took pictures for Grubhub and Uber Eats and stuff. And she told me that a lot of these concepts, this was when it was just like bubbling under the surface.
Yeah.
She's like, I had to take one photo, and this one photo, I would do it from 14 different angles and go to a bunch of different places. That's all the whole thing. And I didn't realize until right now that she was working for Ghost Kitchens.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I know, how crazy.
That's incredible.
I had a run-in with a ghost kitchen once and
a little paranormal run-in with a ghost kitchen.
So one thing you should know about me is that I don't have food delivered to my house ever.
Wait, ever? Oh, because kosher? Or?
No. It's just I don't like the idea of having food delivered to me.
Mm.
I like the idea of takeout. Like going there physically, opening the food, making sure it's everything that I want and whatever, and then I take it to my place. Am I a little bit neurotic and crazy because I do that?
Yeah. Yeah, did
okay,
you not
cool.
think you were neurotic and crazy?
Not until right now.
Oh, yeah. No, we all know that, right?
What?
Yeah, no, that's kind of like part of your personal brand.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
That's a huge part for both of us.
Really?
Yeah, just general neuroticism, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's like very on brand for you to not do that.
No way. Okay. So like I go to this place and I see it's like behind an existing restaurant is just it's like do you know what an ADU is?
No.
Like when someone builds a house and then they have an ADU, it's like a garage that they've converted.
A house behind the house.
Uh-huh. It's a garage that they've converted into a habitable space.
Yeah, yeah.
So someone took a restaurant on 3rd Street, behind it, built a kitchen inside this little tiny like domicile.
Oh my God.
I go in and then I see that it's like 117 and a half. Because you know how it's like a it's
yeah,
a half
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so like I go, platform 9 3/4 in the Harry Potter.
So I go back. It's dark. It's like it's dark and it's scary. There's no lights. And then I see this bright light of this restaurant, of this one guy operating. And I'm like, do you have my bulgogi bowl ready?
Oh, my
and
God.
And he's like, give me 1 minute. And then literally these tickets just go vroom. Like, I literally felt like I was at platform 9 3/4. It was like crazy. And it just goes. And then he goes and he makes our food. And then I'm like, hey, is this a ghost kitchen? He's like, it is. And I'm like, how many restaurants do you have back there? And he's like, honestly, we have like 12 menus. So out of this one space, he is responsible for 12 menus. And they're all in these little like compartments of this little space.
Yeah.
Where they and also those menus online are so tiny. Like you have like maybe like 4 to 8 options.
That like literally this comes down to like a philosophical question of what is a restaurant? What is
it's
a thing?
Nuts.
Look at the Cheesecake Factory, right?
Oh, what about it?
Cheesecake Factory menu, hundreds of items. How many different restaurants, if you just circle different parts of their menu, right? They have a menu for salads. That's a whole salad chain.
That's a salad restaurant.
You circle the salad part of a Cheesecake Factory, and suddenly you put that on Uber Eats as just salads or like, I don't know.
Does Cheesecake Factory do that?
I don't know if Cheesecake Factory does, but a lot of restaurants do.
Okay,
and
like,
so
which ones?
That's why this is like a very philosophical question. Like, is Uber Eats one giant restaurant, you know, that you're ordering from?
I don't want it to be.
Right? Nobody wants it to be. I hate it. I was so confused when you said, have you ever had a run-in with a ghost kitchen? Because they did not expect a person to show up.
No, they didn't.
Nobody gets takeout from a ghost kitchen. That is ridiculous.
Unique.
I've never heard that. Because I'm thinking about the times I've definitely been, you know, kind of scammed by a ghost kitchen, which is to say I got like a mediocre pizza, but it's because I probably ordered it at 3 a.m. It was the only thing open. And I was like, this is a stock photo of a pizza. It's going to be bad. And then it was indeed bad.
Yeah.
But this whole idea of there are these incredibly small menus on like Grubhub and all that. That'll be like just cheesesteaks. And it's like 3 cheesesteaks, you know, and people order from it.
Nuts.
And a lot of that is coming from like these very strange brand deals that are being
signed. Very strange, yeah.
So this is another part of Virtual Dining Concepts, which is the company that is being sued by Mr. Beast.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason they're getting sued is Mr. Beast said that they are not holding up their end of the contract in terms of retaining quality, right?
Sure. There's no QC. Why does there have to be QC?
There's no QC because not all of these are giant commissary ghost kitchens run by big corporations, right? A lot of them are mom and pop restaurants that have sort of signed up for this.
Signed a deal and they're like, whatever, we'll make your burgers for X amount of dollars.
And the menu has to be so basic. I mean, the Beast Burger menu, it's like Beast Burger, which is a hamburger. And then there's Carl Style, which is like, ooh, this has, you know,
onions on it.
Yeah, it's like a patty melt, you know?
Sure.
So they're very, very basic menus that almost any restaurant can just sort of execute. But now off the back of the popularity of the Mr. Beast deal, because that has, I'm sure, made so much money.
Yeah.
And to his credit, there's a whole argument on whether or not Mr. Beast is like altruistic or exploitative. You know, he's healing the blind, but he's making millions of dollars off of it. He wanted to support family-owned restaurants during COVID. That's why he started this, but he's also profiting a ton from it.
Mm.
And then anytime somebody orders a Mr. Beast burger, they're not ordering from that mom-and-pop restaurant. So it's just continually diluting, you know, people's demand for mom-and-pop restaurants. I don't think life is that simple.
No way.
Right? Like it's somewhere in between altruism and exploitation. That's where everything lies in that gray area. But there are these other brand deals that are being signed, things that I didn't know about. Nicole, I would like to read from you.
Oh my gosh.
I would like to read.
I like being read to.
This is the Real House Bowls.
Oh my God, is it Real Housewives?
It is the Real Housewives.
Which one?
Bravo, all of them, Nicole, all of them. So this is not launched yet.
Can I get a Nene bowl?
It has not launched yet, but it is through Virtual Dining Concepts.
Nene Leakes.
Virtual Dining Concepts and Bravo have teamed up to create the Real House Bowls, a virtual restaurant that delivers curated meals for hungry fans to enjoy while catching up with all their favorite Real Housewives franchises on Bravo. Super fans and foodies will adore the chef-created menu. Who else is creating menus other than chefs? That is a perfect balance of light and decadent. Much like the Real Housewives cast, the menu features a wide range of offerings, ensuring yada yada. So it's literally meant to, like, you're watching Real Housewives, and they're going to start just, like, coordinating the marketing efforts of, if you are watching Real Housewives or searching for any of it, you are going to just get shoved ads for Real House Bowls, and there is going to be nothing different about it other than an actual bowl. And you, the consumer, if we are talking about ghost kitchens being a scam, you have the power to not be scammed. You should have the wherewithal to say, this is just a normal bowl with a 20% markup to continue feeding the Bravo Real Housewives machine. You are the one being scammed, and only you have the power to not be. We must remain guarded against these marketing forces that we are so incredibly susceptible to, Nicole, unless Mythical Kitchen launches a ghost kitchen.
I was going to say.
In which case, buy our products.
Let me tell you, that was the scariest rant you've ever gone on.
Was it?
I felt like the world was about to crash.
This stuff freaks me out, though. You know, like, no. we're bombarded with so many more advertisements than we ever have been before. I was literally, as I was pulling up our, like, you know, the menu for Real House Bowls, I got an advertisement for the exact t-shirt that I'm currently wearing.
Freaky.
Literally. And I was like, did it know that I was wearing this t-shirt? And was like, looks a little threadbare. Probably got a new one.
Hide your camera.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife. Hide your camera. No, but we're being bombarded with so much more. And we are being told to consume, consume, consume. And our lives have already been dominated by that. And, you know, even the business that you and I are in right now, you know, is reliant on people consuming.
You are watching. You will buy. You will buy.
The ghost is inside the machine.
Can I tell you, though, I don't think this problem affects rural America as much.
Well, someone stand up for rural America. Nicole, you grew up in
Los Angeles, California.
What part?
You know what part.
What part? What
if you're listening, you know what part. Everybody knows already. I talk about it too much anyways. But I think this is, why did we do this to ourselves?
What do you mean?
I'm just upset. I'm just upset that we've created such an insane way to consume food. Do you know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
no, 100%. And when I sort of talked about this, like, personal responsibility of only you can remain guarded against this kind of stuff and teach sort of literacy to not be susceptible to marketing, we're all the problem, right? And these things only exist because there is demand, right? The supply is only going to follow the demand. Now, I think we are probably in for a bubble. And I think that is the most unique thing.
Like the housing bubble?
Like the housing bubble. But God, do I not know about the housing bubble?
I don't know,
like, oh my God. I've never even seen The Big Short. Like,
I've never been in a house.
My brother tried to, like, have me, like, read a book about it, and I just got so bored. But what I do know a little bit about is the entertainment industry. And we are now in a very strange point in the entertainment industry where it is no longer the supply meeting the demand.
Sure.
And we're seeing this a lot with the strike right now, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
We're obsessed with this idea of permanent growth and just getting out to as many people as possible, right? Like Netflix just loses billions of dollars. Spotify loses billions of dollars. Hell, Uber is the same way. But it's this new, like, VC-backed idea that Amazon is the perfect example of this, is we are going to lose as much money as possible to create the biggest consumer base possible, and then once we have them all hooked on our product,
we'll recoup it.
We're gonna flip it. Yeah. Uber is going to kill the entire taxi industry that has had rules and regulations and standards forever. Uber is going to kill that until they're no longer there, and all you can do is flip on your little app to get anywhere in the world, right?
This podcast turned dark.
It's dark, but no, this is fun, Nicole.
No, but
the Real
concept.
Housewives are putting chicken in a bowl.
But really,
and you can eat it.
I know. It's just scary to me from someone like me and you started in the food world, and you know, simple start, but now that we're in it, it's insane to see how it's grown, and I don't want it to grow anymore sometimes.
I think we're gonna see the bubble burst, right? Because this is the same thing that's going to happen, right? There's gonna be no demand for the Real House Bowls. God, I hope not.
Who do you want to see have a ghost kitchen other than us?
There's somebody that's coming out with one that I'm rooting for, Wiz Khalifa. He's also doing bowls, but it's because bowl, Nicole, is a feature in smoking marijuana. And when you smoke marijuana, you often put it in a bowl. And Wiz Khalifa is famous for his marijuana smoking. He had a song called Reefer Party. You know, that was a it was a remix of Grove Street Party.
Never heard of either of those songs.
It's a party, it's a party, it's a party. No?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a big Wiz Khalifa
Everybody
kid.
Rolling papers, yeah. Nobody smoking blunts? Come on, it's legal in California.
This is a family show.
Wiz Khalifa is a family guy.
I want to see more Barbie stuff.
I was actually surprised that there wasn't more. What was there Barbie stuff in the Ghost Kitchen that I missed? Because I'm not on the.
I haven't seen one, but imagine a Barbie Ghost Kitchen. I think it would have been perfect.
I mean, that is one thing. Is that it? One Barbie. I haven't seen it, but it generally.
You haven't seen Barbie.
It generally
yet? The door is right
sickens
there.
Me because it's this giant Mattel advertisement that's like masquerading as like feminist praxis, and it's just all very strange to me in the
Josh,
world that we live
come
in.
Come on,
what you do you can't mean? Come on, too, why are people?
You
like,
can't be altruistic so much, and you can't.
I'm not.
Be
I'm like not a good person.
So
I'm just a person. I don't know. I just everything's an ad for everything now.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
It's just like super gross.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
The reason I think the bubble's going to burst.
What's up?
We're seeing like one of the other factors in ghost kitchens is that you have these established brands that are just changing their name and their branding to appear to be other things. Like we talked about how Cheesecake Factory could do that. There's restaurants that like are doing that right now.
That's so scary.
Red Robin was one of the biggest ones that people were criticizing. They launched a thing called Chicken Sammy's where they were like, we serve chicken sandwiches.
Okay.
People love that. We'll just put those on a separate menu with separate branding. They would physically cut off their labels where it was going to say Red Robin.
That's so funny.
And just put that on stuff. So many people have been doing this. Another famous one was Chuck E. Cheese as
Oh my God,
Pasquale's.
I remember this. Pasquale's, that's right.
Pasquale's Pizza.
So ridiculous.
And God, Denny's was doing a thing called like Crazy Melt.
Yeah, I remember
like,
that.
Melty Burgers.
I remember that.
But some of the numbers, I don't have the numbers for everybody, but some of the numbers coming out of it were like shockingly low. Like Bloomin' Brands, which is Outback Steakhouse, they launched like a wings concept and they did $330 of business in like 2 weeks.
Because
you're
because every single restaurant that makes wings probably is doing the same thing,
correct?
Right? And well,
and how do you stand out?
You
like,
don't
how do you,
stand out.
You don't.
It's not about standing out. I think
it's
I
about
think,
blending in.
I think it's about blending in, and I think it's about hey, if somebody wants to order this, good luck.
Sure.
We're number 7 on the page or something, you know.
But that's also like antithetical to what a restaurant used to be, right? Like so, Outback Steakhouse, for instance, right? They are now. So sort of their brand equity has been watered down so much.
They're chewy.
To the point where they're trying to hide it.
They're a little chewy.
They're like, we spent years, we spent decades building the name of Outback Steakhouse to be vaunted in the customer base. And now we're trying to hide it to sling wings on the cheap on an app. Like it's really genuinely sad to me.
It's keeping up with the times though.
It is keeping up with the times.
I feel like you don't really have a choice.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Well,
you do have
you
a
do.
Choice, but it's like,
you do have a choice.
It's like, let go or be dragged.
But like, I don't think a lot of places are actually making money off this. I think they're doing it on speculation.
Yeah. It's not about the money. It's about riding. It's about catching the wave.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people trying to catch these waves
so
are going to crash and burn. You know what I mean? Like for every Mr. Beast burger out there that has 1700 locations. And again, it's to no risk of the influencer or whomever is doing this because they're just signing a licensing deal, right?
Yeah.
You pay to use our name, and then we get whatever profits come.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the responsibility is almost being trickled down.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, trickling down. Yeah.
And it's always going to fall on low-wage workers who are actually working these ghost kitchens who are losing jobs from real restaurants that are being shut down that probably care about their employees a little bit more, you know, and then they end up there. And then you end up eating a soggy fish sandwich that could have come from 15 other different restaurants.
My question is there any actual, like, what's the name of the overarching restaurant again that's responsible for this?
Virtual dining concept.
Yeah, yeah. Do they have like a QC thing where somebody goes and like teaches the mom pop shops how to make these, or do they just print out a like recipe book and say learn this?
I'm sure they do have quality control protocols in mind. I'm sure they have terms of agreement. I'm sure they have contracts that all these restaurants sign, but when you're spreading so thin,
yeah, it's like impossible.
Right? I mean, that was one of the problems with like Uber, right? Is you just had no way to control it. So sort of decentralized and spread out it's about numbers, that you just couldn't control the quality on all this, and you had all these problems. That said, is it like any worse than the cab industry? I don't actually know. I mean,
I don't work in the cab industry. We work in the food industry. I think we're trying to understand it by seeing other industries, because it's just so new to us that we have no idea what this is going to look like. And that's the scary thing about ghost kitchens. Like, what is it going to look like in 10 years?
What do you think it is going to look like in 10 years? Can go back.
What do I want to happen, or what do I think is going
to
happen?
Real quick, as an exercise, go back to 2013. Do you remember what was Nicole doing? She's like working at Lush Cosmetics.
Was that 10 years ago?
10 years ago, yeah.
I was in culinary school.
You were in culinary school.
I was in culinary school.
What was happening in restaurants then that people were like, this is going to be the future?
Oh my gosh, what was happening in 2013? It was all the burger joints were like popping up.
Yeah, oh my God, like very gastropubby, like fancy Umami Burger was at the height. I miss Umami Burger.
Umami Burger, they were so good. Plan Check, all of these little burger like concepts were like popping up here and there.
Yeah, it was off that. But like, so were people saying like, the future isn't in fine dining, it's in creating comfort foods, like a burger that's really good.
And innovating within that, the confines of a burger, I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Was big.
But that's kind of like a reframing, right? Because before that, who was like, people weren't like, who's going to pay $30 for a burger? And now it's a very normal thing. Almost every restaurant now has to have a burger on the menu.
That's true. Even like upper class dining places.
100%. Thinking about Petit Trois, upscale French bistro from a Michelin star chef.
Pinocchi and the Bird.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They have a $40 burger after tax and tip on their menu with foie gras bordelaise. Yeah. It's so good. Oh, sloppy. In 2013, I remember I would have been like freelancing, writing about restaurants at the time.
Yeah, what were you noticing?
And there was this sort of almost anxiety. So this would have been like 2015, where we were talking about Los Angeles Magazine's top 10 best new restaurants in LA. And Howlin' Ray's had just opened their brick and mortar.
Oh, no way.
Is before they had like super exploded into having 4-hour lines. Great hot chicken restaurant in Los Angeles by Chef Johnny Ray's
own. So good.
Fantastic. But they had just opened, and before they had 4-hour lines, and I was talking with our head food critic, Patrick Q, who's been on the show. Check out his episode where he judged our 3-course fine dining meal. But I was like, we have to put Howlin' Ray's on the list or we're going to look behind the times. And he straight up goes, it's not a restaurant. And I'm like, how do you mean? He's like, you can't sit down there. He's like, there's 4 stools, but they're trying to shuffle people out all the time. People are just spilling into the streets, eating their chicken sandwiches. It's not a restaurant. A restaurant is something that has hospitality. It has service.
Huh.
How can we judge it? And then I was like, well, times are changing, right? It's more expensive than ever to open a restaurant. More restaurants are failing than ever.
Been a pretty crap industry anyways. I almost said that.
No, 100%. And it's only getting harder. And so I was like, I don't think we can fault great chefs like Johnny Raisone, who worked for Gordon Ramsay and Thomas Keller and ran French restaurants in LA, to open a concept serving great, innovative food in a tiny space that doesn't have these trappings of what you thought a restaurant was, right?
Sure.
And this is when pop-ups were becoming a thing. And restaurants were just, you know, hey, we're one day a week at this wine bar, but we have our own branding and stuff. And
this
maybe
was
we'll
happening
be
during 2015
food,
times.
Food trucks as well, right? It's the explosion.
Oh my
of Kogi.
Gosh, remember food
trucks? This stuff is all new. I mean, food trucks have been around for forever, but
like the explosion.
The brand of food trucks was a huge explosion. And that's a paradigm shift. And so looking back then, thinking, what's the future in 10 years? Wait, quick aside about Patrick Hugh.
Go ahead.
We kind of got in a little row, a little fight. And I'll never forget. He goes, does wine service mean nothing to you? And slams the door and left. And that was hilarious. But point is, 10 years ago, we had this like, restaurants are shifting to being more nomadic, to being food trucks, pop-ups, these tiny holes in the wall.
Yeah.
They're still serving great food.
Joints.
It's a joint. And then now 10 years later, we're in like the dystopian hellscape of what we created. by not having that sort of respect for restaurants.
Oh.
And now ghost kitchens are just the logical endpoint. And so there's probably another logical endpoint.
So this is our fault.
It's our fault. We did it, Nicole.
We did this.
We did this, you know?
Are we just like old? Is this what it is? Is this us aging?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about all this. This is just two old people complaining that the world's changing around us and we don't understand it.
I think that's what this whole podcast is.
Yeah, yeah. Which is totally fine. But no, a lot of this comes, for me at least, from like a genuine love of restaurants and a real care for the industry. And I don't want to see it get diluted. In the same way that you ever hear Snoop Dogg talk about Spotify? He sure doesn't like it.
No, I haven't.
Snoop Dogg had this great thing where he was like, when I used to sell albums, CDs, we sold 1 million records at $9 a pop. That's $9 million. I know I get 20%. That's, you know, roughly $2 million for me. He's like, now on Spotify, you just put a song up there and it gets 9 billion plays and nobody tells you how much money it's making and they're taking all their cuts off the top and you're only paying $12 for a month of unlimited music to get every song in the world, Nicole. You got to pay $12 a month?
I can listen to Beethoven right now if I want
to. You used to have to pay like $12 for a single CD.
It's so nuts.
It's nuts and it's cool that I can listen to anything and I've found so much good music from there that I never would have before, but we've also diluted the product and how much we care about it. When a restaurant is now just a thumbnail of a logo on an app that you don't care about, that you're ordering when you're sat on the couch because you don't want to leave, right? We've watered down the concept of what a restaurant is and all the hard work of all these people that have created great brands and people that treat their employees well and give a crap. You know what I mean? I think we've kind of erased a lot of that. And I'm like hoping that this bubble bursts, you know, that we sort of can get back to that. I'm hoping people who are spending more money on restaurants than ever can actually walk into a damn restaurant and eat the bowl of fuzz it was meant to be served and not in, you know, plastic deli containers. I yearn for that era. That was Mythical Kitchen, Ghost Kitchen.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
All right, Nicole. Did you fall asleep?
No, I was looking at drag queens on YouTube. I was looking at Willem.
I don't know who that is.
That's a problem.
We've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the universe. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
Sorry, I wanted to feel
she
like...
She ate that, honey.
I wanted to feel like Julie Andrews.
Why?
I don't know. She's magical.
I guess so. She's still alive.
Yeah.
Good for her, man. Hey, before we get to your opinions like casseroles, you want to check in on the poll we posted to our Spotify page. If you go to that, you can vote in the polls as well, which would be super cool. But we posted from a couple weeks ago, pho versus ramen, to see what the people think, Nicole. Mm-hmm. And we got up to 694 votes.
Wow, no way.
Yeah, yeah. 67% said ramen, 33% said pho.
Am I supposed to be dancing during this?
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. This is the pole dance portion. Nicole, you got to do your pole dance.
Yeah. Oh.
Ooh.
What?
Ah,
I'm dancing. I'm also dancing with my mouth, so you can hear it on the audio-only version.
Yeah, shout out to our audio-only listeners.
We love you, audio-only listeners.
Anyways, people prefer ramen to pho about a 2-to-1 clip, which is roughly expected, right?
It's expected.
It's expected.
But not honored. Just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I had ramen last night.
Did you really? Where?
From a ghost kitchen.
No, just go to a ramen place that you like, Nicole. There's so many like independently owned ramen restaurants that you enjoy.
I was having
you go through a ghost kitchen. That money's going to virtual diner. That money's going to the ghost kitchen.
I need you to know that I went to like 4 different grocery stores after work, and I was dying on the inside. And I said, David, get ramen. And then it was going to be $65. And I said, don't get ramen. So I found a random spot that literally had 3 reviews. Sat my ass down and had ramen for $20. And I got him an extra one too. So
what restaurants do you order delivery from the most?
I really don't do that much delivery.
I don't either because I don't. It's so expensive.
I cook at,
it's so expensive.
It's too expensive. And listen, I spend money, but spending too much money on food, I can't do. I grocery shop.
Yeah, no. I feel like anytime I get dinner delivered for Julie and I, it just somehow ends up being like $80 plus.
Yeah,
and
I can't.
That's like 5 days of groceries. We also spend a lot of money on groceries because I like cooking.
Yeah,
nice
also
things.
I go out to eat a lot, but.
I mean, I would much rather do that than you're missing all the service charges, you know what I mean? But there's only like 3 things I get delivered. It is Dan Modern Chinese.
Is good delivery. I've had that once.
Chinese food is great delivery.
Yeah.
I get Toranj, which is my new favorite Persian spot, by the way. Toranj does great work. They're juicy chicken.
They do great work.
But you get like kebab, Shirazi salad, rice, hummus, kashki badamjun. You know, I have that. And then Thai food from Sri Siam. But they're all things that deliver well.
From Hat Thai.
From where?
Hat Thai.
Hat Thai.
It's the best Thai food place because it's close to our house.
Hey,
and the best Thai food is the one that's closest to your house. Please don't Google it and find out where I live.
I just thought Sri Siam does great work. I think without Sri Siam, I don't know if Night Market could have done what they did. Shout out to LA Restaurant References. We see you out there. Let's get to our first opinion.
Oh yeah, this is the opinion part. We should talk to.
I know. I just wanted to talk to you. Well, because I hate delivery food. Most of it's bad. Eddie Burback in that video getting fish sandwiches delivered. Fish sandwich delivered, a fried fish sandwich
you
delivered,
gotta
you're a crazy
your
person.
Choices.
Oh my God.
This should be in the podcast.
I know it should have been in the podcast. This is the podcast. Nicole, this is still the podcast.
No, it's a different section.
And all these places tried to like, well, we invented a new box to keep your fish sandwich fresh and crispy. No, you didn't. You put holes in a box.
You put holes in a box.
Okay, let's get to that
box,
first video.
Baby.
Sugarfish. Sushi.
I get sushi delivered.
They deliver. You get sushi. That's insane.
I get sushi picked up.
Literally the best way to use sushi is right out of the sushi chef's hands. And you're just
do you
putting
know
it in a Corolla.
Who I'm married to?
They're putting it in a Corolla and driving it half an hour to you.
Yeah, so what if it's in a Corolla? You got probably against Toyota Corollas?
No, the Corolla's a good car. It was the top selling model in America for a long time.
The car's Japanese.
Oh,
so
fair
sushi.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, here we go. Okay. No, now I get it. I only get my schnitzel delivered in Volkswagen. you want duck a l'orange? A Peugeot better pull up.
Deep cut.
You want sundubu jjigae? That better be a Hyundai. That better be a Hyundai coming up with your sundubu jjigae.
Hi, this is Luke from Northfield, Minnesota. Absolutely love you guys and your podcast. Listen to every single episode. And I've called in a couple of times with opinions.
Just pull out in a Volvo.
But now I'm going to call in for advice. Because now I'm a drag queen.
Hey, Mazel!
Kind of probably for Nicole, just because I've never seen Josh wearing makeup. I don't know, maybe he has a little foundation or something. But what is something or things that are good to eat if I have a full face of makeup and I don't want to, like, smudge myself? Like, something small that just goes in my mouth and is not intrusive, you know? Because, you know, if I have a bunch of makeup on, I don't want a chili dog or
Nicole's dream.
A BLT or something like that. Like, I don't want to do my makeup again. I don't want to mess it up. You know, if I'm drinking something, then, you know, you just have a little straw and have a little something. But if I'm in drag for hours, then I need something that I can eat that isn't intrusive to my face. So, yeah, let me know. Very important. I'm going to keep a drag queen alive if you let me know. Let me know. Come on. Come. Let me know. Come on.
Okay, I've never heard of an opinion that needs to be answered by me before more than this. This is incredible. First of all, I was just watching Drag Queens.
Literally, literally.
And so is there a water bottle around? Is there a water bottle you can just like throw at me really quick? Okay.
What are you about to do
with
that?
I'm going to give you an example of what I do because with drinking, you can have a straw, yeah. But what I do is I literally put, everybody makes fun of me about how I drink water. I drink water like this.
What the hell? You've been doing that for like the 4 years that I've known you?
Yeah. I don't put my lips in the water. I wrap my lips around the top. I'm gonna spin up, and I go like this.
I feel like I'm watching something I shouldn't be.
I drink my water with my lips wrapped around the top because I don't want my lips to get screwed up.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's very important. Whenever you're drinking out of a bottle, if you don't have a straw handy, just wrap your lips over it. And then for foods, little foods, okay? The best thing to do, like, for example, get a chicken cutlet and cut it into little pieces and then eat it individually like this. Yes. And then, like, things like sushi, like, little bites are good. Anything that you can cut into little pieces. Sandwiches, never. Soup, never. Noodles, better not.
What about soup with a straw?
No. Whenever I have a full face of makeup on, like, whenever I'm, like, I'm trying to think of, like, when I'm sitting in a chair, getting myself ready and having food on the side, which I don't typically do because I don't eat in my room. But, like, whenever I'm getting my makeup done, I normally have, like, yeah, like a salad is also really great, too. But I like to get chopped salads because they're chopped super fine and I can use a spoon to shovel it in instead of a fork. Also, Shirazi salad's a great one, too.
I concur.
This is the best opinion of all time.
And you helped out a drag queen.
I love that.
That's great.
Yay.
Hi, Josh and Nicole. This is Katie from Iowa.
Hey, Katie.
My unpopular food opinion is that I have always dunked my salmon in ranch dressing.
Yes.
I know that's a very Midwest opinion, and yes. My boyfriend judges me hardcore. My defense is that I am a medical student, and I know that salmon is really good for you, and definitely. So I try to make it more palatable because I don't really like the taste of salmon, so yeah. I dunk it in something I like. Uh-huh. Please don't judge me too hard. I love the pod. Thanks, you guys.
I don't understand the medical student defense. I don't understand the medical student defense.
Well, because it's full of omega-3s and fatty acids.
How does that defend ranch?
Read a book.
Is ranch the only way to make it palatable? But no, you shouldn't need a defense. But if you did, there's a culinary defense.
Okay, what's the culinary defense?
People would put tartar sauce on salmon, right?
Okay, fair.
That's what it was made for. It's just acid, it's mayonnaise, you know, yeah. It's herbs, whatever. What is ranch if not tartar sauce sans cornichon? Nicole, that's what I'm saying. Ranch is just, it's a delightfully flavored aioli with other things in it. It's
okay. I imagine what I would do is I would make a salad and put the salmon on top and then drown it in ranch. Or I could take ranch powder.
Like Why do you have to hide your ranch? You want the ranch on the salmon. You have to hide it in the salad? No, you don't have to hide anymore, Nicole. You're safe here.
I was saying ranch powder on the salmon. Cook it with ranch powder. I'm sure it's really dank.
It's probably really dank.
It's
probably really dank. Dairy and fish. There's nothing wrong with it. I grew up eating creamed herring.
That's disgusting.
What, Nicole? My culture is not your costume. We eat creamed herring.
I'm literally wearing a chai necklace. Get out of my face.
Hey guys, this is Ray from Southern New Jersey, and
yes,
I was watching one of your shows, and I thought about something: how food can be great when it comes to bringing back memories,
mm-hmm.
especially smells.
Uh-huh.
Mine is my mother would boil cabbage from my father, and I would come home from school and the smell would hit me in the nose and I would absolutely hate it. And to this day I hate boiled cabbage.
Fine.
Do either of you have food memories that just take you to a negative place? I'm just curious. Keep up what you're doing, love the show, and God bless, guys.
That's interesting, though. Food smells associated with negative memories. Mm-hmm. I have, like, really weird ones.
I have one that's kind of, it's not a smell, but it's a taste.
What's the taste?
It's those candies. Those strawberry candies that like grandmas have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like those.
What does that take you back to?
I don't know. I think it
you have
takes
a mean grandma?
Huh?
You have a mean grandma?
I did have a mean grandma. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she was a teacher. She's actually a first grade teacher for David's parent. She was David's mom's first grade teacher.
In
Iran.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She taught a lot of kids.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I had a mean grandma, and every time I see those candies and I see them, I'm like, mean grandma.
That's funny. Mine is the smell of fresh basil that I hate. It's really bizarre because when I first started cooking, we lived right next to a Trader Joe's and I was a total latchkey kid, right? Mm-hmm. My brother was out hanging out with his high school friends. Dad was working like 14-hour days, stuff like that. And so he would just like give me a 20 and I'd go buy ingredients from Trader Joe's and they would always sell these giant clamshells of fresh basil. Mm-hmm. And I was like watching Food Network at the time. Like green things on food make it fancy.
Sure.
And so I would always buy a thing of fresh basil. I put it on everything. That fresh basil taste just infected every single thing that I made. And it was a very strange and lonely time in my life where I was trying mm-hmm. to figure out what it meant to be a person. And now when I smell fresh, gotta be Genovese Italian basil. Thai basil doesn't trigger the memory, but Italian basil does.
Okay.
I get weirdly sad.
Do you use any Genovese basil?
Almost never.
Almost never.
Almost never. I like don't like the taste of it now.
Yeah. When you were doing that chicken parm episode, you were very sullen.
Yeah.
You were quite sullen on the inside.
I'm a sullen man. I'm a...
No, you're not.
Men are overly emotional. That's why we can never be president.
I was just talking about how we called it Hillary Killery. Literally this morning.
Oh, what a strange times we all live in. May you live in interesting times.
Next opinion, please.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
This is Will. I'm from Kentucky.
Hey,
I'm
Will.
An assistant manager at a McAllister's Deli.
Congrats.
Cool.
And my opinion is that avocado belongs on French dips. Think about it. Avocado needs salt. Everybody knows that you can put like soy sauce on avocado and it's really good.
That's
and
good
the
point.
Au jus on a French dip is essentially just like watered down soy sauce in beef juice. It's delicious. You have to try it. Avocado on your next French dip. Thank you. Love you guys.
This is interesting.
I eat a lot of French dip sandwiches. I would say the restaurant that I frequented most in my life is probably Philippe's.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah,
I've been there like, it's the one place I can say I've been there more than 10 times.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thought of asking those lovely ladies in their cute uniforms and their little deli hats, please put avocado on my French dip sandwich. I think they would have a conniption.
Oh, yeah.
But if I could bring an avocado to the restaurant and eat it outside, it could work.
It could work.
I don't like it, but it can work.
I think this is a deceptively good opinion.
It is.
In terms of like what a French dip needs, right? Because
sure.
you already have like the meat. Do you get cheese on your French dip?
I do.
I generally don't for some reason. I've never been that big of a
cheese guy.
It's
just American.
You get American?
Yeah, it's the best one.
Is it supposed to be Swiss on a French dip?
I was going to say, I also sometimes get Swiss. If it's lamb dip, I get Swiss. If it's beef dip, I get American.
That's so funny. But like when you add avocado to a sandwich, right, it's adding fattiness, it's adding creaminess,
yeah.
And it's kind of like this bland, almost refreshing, fatty, creamy layer that, like you said, takes really well to salt.
Yeah.
Of course, I always associate avocado with Mexican food.
Sure.
So a torta ahogada, which is a Mexican version of a French dip, effectively, right? It's a soaked sandwich. But that has spice to it, but you don't inherently need spice for avocado to be good,
No.
You know? But I'm wondering if you do need acid, because that's the thing that a French dip is missing.
Do you need spice in a French dip?
No, but I'm saying, does avocado need acid to set it off?
Nothing
needs anything, but...
Mm-mm.
Because you're getting like umami from the beef and salt from the au jus.
There's spicy mustard on the side.
Not always, though. At Philippe's, you're talking about one specific restaurant
but
that
I
did
like
invent
that.
The French dip, allegedly, in Los
but
Angeles.
I like it.
I love that mustard is atomic.
It's so good.
I really want to try this. The closest equivalent I can sort of think to, like, avocado in that sort of sandwich deli context is, like, when there's fat, fresh mozzarella. And the fresh mozzarella that's, like, not very salty.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It kind of adds the same thing as avocado.
No, it doesn't. For me, it doesn't. I always add avocado to my deli sandwiches, especially
which is
when
weird. Yeah, because you do that to your Uncle Polly's sandwich.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do that.
But like, that one has a big wedge of fresh mozzarella.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's weird to me. Those are substitute goods to me.
Really? No. Mayonnaise is a substitute good for avocado.
No, only if it's avocado spread. If it's an avocado spread, but if it's whole avocado.
You know what happens with an avocado when you mash it?
What?
It's spreadable.
You don't have to mash it. You put slices on it. It's what? A different experience. It's like saying relish versus pickles.
No way.
Why are we fighting?
Avocado.
Why are we fighting?
Hold on. Hold the phone. You mean to tell me that relish and pickles is the same as sliced avocado and regular avocado?
I'm saying relish is to pickles as mashed avocado is to sliced avocado.
No way in heck.
Of course it is.
No way.
It's just a broken down version of that ingredient that creates a different experience.
Yes, it is, but you can't compare the two because of the texture and the crunch of a pickle and the texture and the crunch of an avocado is non-existent.
There's a difference. It's not texture and crunch, but there's a bite.
It turns into mush in your mouth.
If it is a ripe avocado that is sliced, there is a bite to it that would go really well with a French dip. I'm talking to Will from Kentucky. I'm not talking to you anymore. Will, great idea. You want to host a podcast, Will? Will, come on, fly out to LA, fly out Nicole. You want to work at a deli? You want to be the assistant manager of a deli? You might have to work your way up from dishwasher. Why not? You do good at work for a deli. You do good for Will now.
Anyways, do I smell more like beef? Double beef?
Okay. And thanks so much for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us, we got new audio-only episodes every Wednesday. Video comes out on Sunday over on the Mythical Kitchen channel.
If you want to be a feature on... I'm sorry.
All worked up from that little
tip. If you want to be featured on Opinions or Casseroles, you can hit us up at 833-DOG-POD-1. Our number again is 833-DOG-POD-1.
Yeah, for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out. We got videos.
Every week. We'll see you next time.
Sometimes there's a week where we don't do a video, but that's pretty rare.
Very rare.
We plan it to give ourselves nice little treats, like a little break.
Like sleep. And spending time with our loved ones.
This video. Ooh.
I went to Cabo.
Yeah, and I went to South Jersey.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the South Jersey man's accent.